Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this, so that my joy might be in you, and your joy might be complete. This is my commandment. Love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I no longer call you slaves, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends, because I have told you everything that I have heard from my Father. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. This I command you, love one another." The Gospel of the Lord. So let me share something with you that I hear frequently. I know I'm not alone on this. And this is people who say that if I had lived in the time of Christ, my faith would have been so strong. I would have followed Jesus to the end. I just know it. I would not have abandoned him in the courtyard of the high priest, not like St. Peter. I wouldn't have fallen asleep when he asked for me to help stand by his side in prayer, not like Peter, James, and John in the Garden of Gethsemane. I wouldn't have run away. I would have followed him all the way to the cross. If only I could have heard his voice. If only I could have seen Christ with my own eyes. My faith would have been so strong, I just know it. Very frequently people will say that. Now, for your sake, I hope you're right. I really do, for your sake. But don't be so quick to assume how faithful you would have been. Because there's no doubt about it, seeing Christ with your own eyes, hearing his voice with your own ears, this would have been a great help. But no matter when you live, faith always requires a free choice on your part. And that free choice is never easy. And it would have been really hard to live in the time of Jesus and see this unassuming, ordinary man, you know, supposedly the son of a carpenter, and in spite of the miracles, to say, "That's the Messiah. That's God come down to earth. I know it." That would have been hard. In the same sense that it would be hard today to look at the Eucharist and to say, "That is Christ in my midst." Or to look at the soul of your neighbor and to say, "There's a mysterious presence of Christ there." Or, and this is really my point today, to look at the church and to be able to say, "That is God's instrument." To look at the church and to be able to say, "That's the body of Christ, and Christ is the head." To look at the church and to say, when that church teaches, it teaches with Christ's own authority. And it sanctifies by Christ's own power. And when it governs, it's just like Christ said to his apostles, "He who hears you, hears me. And he who disregards you, disregards me." That wouldn't be easy. And has never been easy. But there is one feast day of the year that helps us tremendously with that challenge of faith. And it's today's feast, the feast of St. Matthias, who, as you heard from your first reading, was the apostle chosen to replace Judas Iscariot. St. Peter called them all together, and they cast lots, and they elected St. Matthias. It's interesting to note, St. John Chrysostom said Peter could have picked them all by himself if he wanted to, but he chose to do it this way. And the author of Acts of the Apostles does a tremendous favor to our faith in recording this. Because, do you understand, the only thing we know about St. Matthias is what we heard in our first reading. Of the apostles, he's the one about whom we know the least. All we know is how he was chosen and that he was martyred, and that's it. We don't even know where. So Some people say he was martyred in Jerusalem. Some people say he was martyred in Ethiopia. Some people say he was martyred in what's now Georgia. Fact of the matter is, we don't really know. But there's two things that we learn from the Feast of St. Matthias that we do know, and these help us tremendously. Here's the first. It reminds us, after Christ ascended into heaven, it reminds us that Christ works through a church. Very frequently, people will take any point of Christian doctrine which they struggle, and they'll say, where's that in the Bible? Well, that's not an unfair question. Our teachings are there in the Bible, either explicitly or implicitly. But if you think that the Bible is some kind of proof text, you look at these people and they'll say, you know, I want to know why using nuclear weapons on civilian populations is wrong. Where's that in the Bible? I want chapter and verse, right? We forget the Bible is not our ultimate authority. Don't be shocked. Jesus didn't write a Bible. Jesus founded the church. And it's that church that gives the Bible its authority. It's the church that tells us what books are in the Bible and what books are not. It's the church that tells us what the Bible means. You know what the Bible is without a church to interpret it? Just imagine a constitution without a Supreme Court. You get the basic idea. Everybody thinks it means one thing or another, and everyone becomes his own final authority. But he founded this church on apostles. And when we see the Feast of St. Matthias, we see how that succession of apostles began. The ones we today call bishops are successors to the apostles, and the authority that Christ gave to those apostles got handed on in an unbroken line right down to our final age. Now, this is another thing that's very important to help us with our faith. The perfect God deliberately chose to work through imperfect human instruments, and he didn't have to do that. God could have founded a church on angels if he wanted to, but he didn't. So please understand, no matter who your church leader is, you will be disappointed in him. Give him enough time, you will be disappointed in him. This is a frail human being. But that does not deter God in the slightest from acting through your church leaders. Just as an aside, it's very important to remember this. Always remember there is two things you owe your church leaders. Two things. Number one, you owe them respect. Do not disrespect God's anointed. That does not mean you always have to like them. It does not mean you always have to agree with them. You can disagree with them, but understand, if you disagree with your church authority, always do so respectfully and regretfully. It's respect that you're showing to none other than God himself. And the second thing you owe to your church leaders is obedience. Christ was obedient even unto death on a cross. That obedience is not unlimited. No one can ask you to commit a sin. Nobody can ask you to deny the faith. But understand this. God founded his church on the apostles who teach with his own authority. That's the first thing we learn from the Feast of St. Matthias. And the second thing that we learn from the Feast of St. Matthias is that in spite of the weakness of these apostles, in spite of the weakness of these church leaders, that God himself is still at work. And that he'll continue to be at work down until the end of time and will not abandon his flock. We just had the election of a pope, and this is something that's very timely here on the Feast of St. Matthias. Sometimes people will ask, you know, does the Holy Spirit pick the pope? That question was asked of Pope Benedict, and I'll summarize his answer for you. He said, shortly in brief, no. The Holy Spirit does not pick the Pope. God might have his choice and might inspire the cardinal electors with his choice, but they remain free. What we can believe, certainly, is that in spite of who's picked, God's work will not be deterred. He will always get his work done, whether deliberately or in a backhanded fashion. Because God makes all things work to the good of those who love him, and he promised to be with his church until the end of time, and that church will not fail. God promised it. and God does not break his promises. You can found your life on that. We'll ask the prayers of the saints and the apostles to help us to maintain this faith. Saint Matthias, pray for us.